Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Well, another new year has begun. We're now in January, the month with two faces, named after the Roman little G god, Janus. Janus was a crazy dude with two faces, one that was looking back to the past and the other looking ahead to the future. That's pretty much what you do in January, right? Then you make resolutions so you can do better. If you do what I do on Pirate Money Radio and in the Economic War Room, you also get tasked with making predictions. I pulled up what we said last year to see how we did overall. Not terrible. We were right in some areas for sure, and there were a couple of misses, I'm sure. And last year I had co-host Mike Carter, and he's back again. This should be a great opportunity to catch up, refresh, and get back to it, to get on with those New Year's resolutions. Right, Mike?
Absolutely. I always enjoy these shows, Kevin, because you've been surprisingly accurate. Not surprisingly, but accurate than most people would be unless there's some supernatural wisdom in there. And this is always a good time to just kind of reflect, like you said, looking at what we got right. And for the most part, I think the things that haven't happened yet are just things that haven't happened. But looking to what's the future, what I do want you to stop doing is predicting that national debt, because you've been accurate every year, and it's looking really bad.
You don't have to be Nostradamus to look at Congress and see how they're spending money and realize that debt's going to increase. We've got to get that fixed, because it leads to a really serious problem. Do you remember last year on this show, that was episode number 38 for Pirate Money Radio, we talked about inflation and how much had gone up under Biden and how it would come down under Trump. Let's see how we did.
Yeah, no, it's been coming down. There's still a little bit of that PTSD of, you know, is it actually happening or not? Can I still make a living? Things are looking like pretty accurate. It's coming down.
It's
not zero though.
Yeah,
we still got some opportunities.
It's hard not to have PTSD when you go in and you order a cheeseburger and it's $15 and you're like, oh, what happened here? But we've seen gains in gas prices and egg prices and a few other things. So the Trump's first term inflation, the average annual inflation was very low. Under Biden, it more than doubled, and cumulative inflation got to 20%, according to official figures. And under Trump, it's come back down. It's 2-point-something% versus 1-point-something in his first term, but way better than the 5% we saw under Biden.
Yeah. I filled up with gas the other day, $2.11. I mean, that felt like going back in time.
What's the location of that gas station? I'll be driving over there. I filled up at the Quick Trip here in Keller, and it was a little bit bumped higher than that, but it's still in the twos, not in the threes, and so I think that's good.
I live out in the country. They adjust for the extra driving.
I guess I'll make up
for it in volume.
Yeah, all right. So last year, we also talked about pirate money legislation, and we predicted that we thought it could pass in one or two states. We were hopeful and all that. Maybe Texas or Florida. If we get one big state, we said. So what happened?
That, as Trump would say, is huge, Kevin, because we ended up passing it literally in six states. We're moving forward with law now in five states because the governor of Utah got a little confused on how to do this. They were first out. He wasn't quite sure he was comfortable with it. I think that's going to change, but Texas, Florida, Arkansas, Louisiana, Missouri, all passed us, five states.
Yeah.
We were told this would be impossible. It'd be impossible to get one without all kinds of extra lobbyists and help, and it'd take multiple years. It's miraculous.
So we predicted we'd get it past one. We were very bold in doing that, maybe two, and we got five.
Yeah.
So I'll count that as a win.
Yeah.
All right. And we also talked about partnering with Charlie Kirk last year. Mm. And that's a very sad thing, but it was an exciting thing. We had him here a year ago, and he was holding up his Pirate Money book, and then he had me speak at AmFest, and we just did AmFest together.
Yeah. So many projects we were excited to be working on together, and we'll hopefully continue on that legacy, but it's, you know, with him being gone, it's still hard to believe.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. We also talked about MAHA throughout the year, and have you seen the change in the look of Cheetos and Doritos, two of my favorite snacks, right? They're getting healthier.
They are. They're getting rid of those dangerous food dye colors and all that stuff. And
a lot of the chemicals.
I hate to say this. My mom back in the 70s was like, don't eat those red food colored things. That's not healthy for you. Like, come on, mom, the FDA, you're just imagining. Mom was right once again.
Mom usually is.
Now I can at least look and say, okay, now I can eat my Doritos and feel like it's kind of a healthy food.
It's health food, yeah. Well, I don't know if it's health food, but it's much better. Get your vegetables in the form of chips. But here's the truth. These things are flying off the shelves. The American public is super excited to not be misled on chemicals and food dyes and all that. They love this. And then they've seen the vaccine schedules change. And those that were, oh, you're just conspiracy theorists. Actually, there's some science behind what they were thinking.
And that's big because, you know, we lost faith and we were told so many lies. I think a big part of the population lost faith. And those that were believing it, that said, oh, no, you're anti-science, are now seeing some things that, who was telling the truth on this? And so getting back to real facts and data where people can make their own decision, that's a huge win.
It is. We saw ivermectin, that's for horses and for cattle and stuff. And, actually, it's been a drug approved for human use, and it's won a Nobel Prize. It's an amazing thing. All right, so we also had tariffs. We were told at the beginning of the year, that they would ruin the economy and they would jack prices up. We've seen prices come down during tariffs. We've seen the economy expand and grow during tariffs. We've seen tariff revenue that's helping offset some of the deficit spending of Congress.
Exceeding lots of expectations on the revenue that's come in.
Yeah, even Barron says Trump is on a win streak in his trade war. That was December 10th in Barron's. So we predicted some good things. We predicted.
I thought you were talking about Barron Trump.
No.
Barron's the magazine.
Barron's the magazine,
well,
yes.
Very good.
Barron Trump says so, too. He endorses the Trump trade policy as well. All right, so we also predicted the border would be closed. And you look at the border encounters in 2024, 1,758,229. Down 96% in 2025 to 65,000. And that saved the average taxpayer $318. And that is $35 billion in savings per year from that.
Wow.
Closing the border. Who'd have thought, right?
Yeah.
Trump got it done.
I thought that was all good for the economy.
Yeah, it is good for the economy. We saved $35 billion closing the border.
I mean, leaving it open was supposedly good for the economy.
Oh, no. Leaving it open is terrible.
I didn't think that, but that's what they were telling us. $35 billion, that's a huge number.
That's a huge savings. All right, we also predicted Trump would bring peace to the massive number of conflict regions, and there's eight. He's trumpeting it. It says President Trump ended. He had seven wars. He crossed it out and put eight in just 8 months. And that includes Israel and Hamas. And look what he did with Iran. I mean, this guy has really gotten a lot of things right.
Defying the traditional thinking, defying the elite thinking as it relates to tariffs, as it relates to how to negotiate peacefully. It's been impressive.
Yeah, we were partly right on one of the things that has not worked out as well as we'd hoped, and that is DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, started with like a house on fire. It was fabulous, but now it's kind of dying out in a whimper.
The bureaucracy came in, and I'll say the Democrats, they wanted to keep their programs and made it harder to cut some of those things.
Now, we have saved $214 billion. That is an average of $1,329 per taxpayer. So you add that and the border closing up, and it's saved a good amount of money per taxpayer, but our deficit has continued to grow.
Yeah, what's the deficit cost that I owe on that? I'm $120,000 or something each person in my family.
Oh my gosh, it is really bad when you look at it. USDebtClock.org, it's almost $40 trillion, and the per taxpayer debt is much more than $120,000. Let me pull it up so we can actually. This is as of right this second, as this is being recorded. U.S. national debt clock, real time, it is $329,646 per taxpayer.
Wow. Well, at least those are inflated dollars. So
yeah, $38.5 trillion almost in debt. So it's a dangerous thing. All right, that's enough looking back. We've had a good year. We had a good year of predictions. President Trump had a good year politically, and the American economy, whether you feel it or not, has actually gotten better. But now we're going to have to look forward. What will 2026 bring? We'll tell you more about that right after we get back from this break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, I'm joined by the great Mike Carter, and we're talking about what happened last year and what's going to happen next year. And we've looked back a little bit. Let's look forward now. Let's. What will 2026 bring? I'd like to walk through politics, economics, faith in church, the stock market, and pirate money.
Oh, that sounds good. I was just hoping that as we looked at kind of what's happened in the past. Well, we saw some good things there, but you know, you like to talk that bad, good, and beautiful thing. We got some good and beautiful coming for this next year.
We do, and I put in the middle of all that, I put faith in church because it's the center of all of the other topics. If we have faith, we can have good results in politics, economics, the stock market, and pirate money.
All right. That sounds good.
All right. So after we cover all of those, we can share some of our personal family goals, our personal resolutions, the things that we're going to be working on. One of them, I'm going to try and get my weight back down to my 2020, pre-2020 COVID levels. I haven't quite gotten
there.
How about
your pre-20-year-old levels?
Oh, no. I'd be way too skinny then. All right, so let's start with politics. What does this look like in 2026?
Politics?
Yeah.
Well, I'm slightly concerned with what I see happening in New York, what I see happening down even in Miami a little bit, where we're seeing a potential shift, not just a Democrat, but actual communism, not in Miami necessarily, but you know that New York Mandami thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good sign when you see not just a difference of opinions, but flat-out socialism, communism, making its head in America.
I really wondered about America when we would elect Barack Hussein Obama with the name Hussein. And I thought, well, that's a crazy name for politics. And I have no problem with people with different names being elected. But the problem here was that he ushered in some of the things that I was concerned about. He actually was more favorable to socialism, and he was more favorable to political Islam and things like that.
But, and unfortunately, division. I mean, a chance to bring America and all the different races that are here together and instead use that for political advantage.
I was hoping he would bring, you know, that was my hope. It's like, well, I'm just glad we got that done because we can now put race aside as an issue and go forward realizing that it's not the color of your skin, it's the content of your character, like Dr. King said, but unfortunately it got worse in race relations, not better. Now I'm concerned about Zoran Mamdani, and I've got to admit, it sounds like you put a quarter in and Zoran Mamdani is going to predict your future, and we're talking about the future. And if he is predicting our future, it's not good. Because his opening speech was, there's no problem too big for government to solve and no problem too small for government to care about, which means government should be involved in everything.
Yeah. I like the other G, God.
Yeah, absolutely. The big G God, yes.
Yeah.
Not the little G Janus,
right.
But
exactly.
Yeah.
Definitely the big G God. But when you start saying government can take care of your problems, that's never a good sign, as Ronald Reagan would say.
Well, let's turn to GB. Glenn Beck, who warns us that in 2026, what's the term he used? He says, Democrats will come back with a vengeance. That's a little scary.
That sounds intense, but I see that happening.
I can't open my X feed without seeing, don't you wish you had this guy as your president? And I see Biden everywhere, and I'm like, are you kidding me? He couldn't even get through a debate. His own party forced him out.
Yeah.
The Republicans didn't force him out. His own party forced him out. And then I see, don't you wish you'd elected this woman? and it's a former vice president. And I'm like, I remember her and her cackling and her word salad.
Yeah, but she's proud of all that. She's a historical figure, and she's going to have a statue of herself at the Capitol and feeling pretty good about her accomplishments.
Well, I did not feel good about her being president, and neither did the American people.
Mm.
A year ago, they were very strongly supporting the return of President Trump. So I'm concerned about that. What happens if the Democrats retake Congress?
Oh, it will be right back to where we were before with the first Trump administration. Everything will be an impeachment, whether it's based on any kind of fact. Whatever they can make up, let's impeach. And then we lose potential power. We get caught in bureaucracy and trials.
They open the borders. Yeah. They start spending more money. They start cracking down on Christians, mm-hmm. all of the things, the debanking and all of that, and then they usher in central bank digital currency. Yeah. And they'll hope for a crisis, whether it's a crisis from terror attack or whether it's a financial failure, they'll hope for it. Here's the problem.
We've been talking about that for a long time here in terms of what that agenda looks like. And so, you know, our listeners that are aware, hopefully are starting to build their game plans and move forward with that. But it is concerning to see what's going to happen. Now, we got a little bit of time with Trump. Even if we get past the midterms, or if we don't, he's still in office as somewhat of a blocker, but they can neutralize him very quickly.
Yeah, he will be veto, and then they'll run on how he's stopping everything. Mm-hmm. So we actually need a better agenda that's put forward by conservatives. All right, here's the problem. Heartland Rasmussen poll, 53% of young voters want a socialist to win the 2028 presidential election, and 76% want government to nationalize major U.S. industries. They absolutely do not understand, but they're the people who put Mamdani in power, and they're the same young people.
Economic degrees at Harvard and Yale probably helping to influence that a little bit, or just people that are hopeless out there saying, I don't know what to do, so blow up the system.
I had the honor of contributing my thoughts to the Texas education plans for economics in the curriculum and the textbooks. I'm hoping to see some free market ideas pulled out in textbooks because young people have turned away from free markets. They think it will solve the wealth gap. It absolutely won't. We have a solution for that, by the way, which we'll bring to you. But Mamdani went from little-known socialist lawmaker to New York City mayor. That's why we need to develop the concept of economic justice.
Yes, yes. Economic justice, it would be great if we could have something like a presidential economic justice board or something like that.
Well, we're working on it. You know how the president has the religious liberty group that's explaining the things he's doing and giving him suggestions, and it's chaired by Lieutenant Governor Patrick from Texas, mm-hmm. and Dr. Ben Carson and people on it, great people like Matt Staver and Kelly Shackford and others, and he's got the Faith Board and all of that.
Yeah.
So we're proposing an economic justice board. We unveiled it at AmeriFest.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm very excited about the potential for this. It's a project of the Economic War Room and Pirate Money Radio, and I think it can make a real difference. What were some of the reactions that you've gotten from?
Well, I certainly full buy-in to this idea. I mean, the insights of how Gen Z feels today are pretty consistent. You know, will I ever be able to afford a home? You know, did I waste my money on my college education? All those kind of things. If we can find those real solutions that says, you know what, it's possible again to live the American dream. It's possible to be able to purchase a home. It's possible to be able to support your family, or maybe even possible to support your family on one income. That might not mean that you're living with four or five cars and all that kind of stuff, but it's possible that there's hope and that the system can work and people can see that again. That's what the Economic Justice Board is going to do. It's going to make sure that we've got people with influence in D.C. hearing from people on Main Street to say, hey, this is what's important. This is how we help Gen Z. This is how we build that arc. And you did a fabulous job creating an acronym around that. You want to explain a little bit what we said arc. I'm thinking of a little Bible boat and animals sticking out of the window. But this is like a cool arc.
It is not a little Bible boat that Noah piloted. It is a enormous undertaking, but it is necessary to protect against the financial storms that could be coming. And so ARC is affordability, reward, and kindness. So affordability is we're going to have to address the immediate need that we're having. So it's like if people are in immediate pain, you've got to find ways. And President Trump's been working on bringing inflation down. Home prices are actually beginning to level off and come down in some areas and so forth. But people want to own a home, start a family, and live with freedom mm-hmm. on a single income if they can. Reward means that people say, if I put the extra work in, I'm going to get rewarded. And we learned that this is a lesson from humanity. You can go back all the way to the Pilgrim colony. And the younger people said, hey, I'm working extra hard here, and I'm only getting an equal share, but I'm putting in most of the work. They were complaining about. That's what mm-hmm. socialism would do.
Yep.
It failed, and they had a miserable crop failure. People were starving. That's what socialism does. If they see that they can get rewarded for their work, if their college degree will pay off, or maybe they don't need a college degree, maybe a trade school, or maybe some other alternatives. And so what can we do to help them understand that? And then the last, the K, is kindness. And that is the solution. When you have socialism, I don't have to take care of you. You may be hurting, but that's the government's problem. Yeah. Well, the government is the least efficient solution to transmitting and supporting and helping people. The most efficient solution is generosity. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a little bit of that where we see Michael Dell saying, hey, look, I'm willing to kick in billions of dollars to help young people with those Trump accounts. When you have a baby, you'll get a Trump account and you can get into the American dream. That's what we need. We need more kindness, freedom of generosity, and not greed. That is the solution.
Yeah, so we had an arc from the flood that brought us this new world. We're going to bring an arc that's going to get us back to the world and the beliefs that we had here in America, which I think is big. Next, you're going to be talking about bringing back a rainbow, probably.
Yeah, well, the rainbow, we're going to take the colors back. I don't like the idea that the idea of the rainbow has been stolen, but I do like this. This is about money. And this, we're going to get help from people like Dr. Ben Carson and Ryan Helfenbein of Liberty University, and wonderful people. Love this Economic Justice Board. It's going to be the battle of 2026, but it is about money. And there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And that's what we're doing, is we're taking economic solutions. That's what Pirate Money Radio is about. And I have good news. I do think the one big beautiful bill will kick in the spring, and people will feel good about the economy. And maybe the midterms can turn out okay. Oil prices, food prices, house prices, they're all coming down or leveling off. The key is going to be messaging, which will lead us into economics.
Yeah, and we see Trump getting ready to go on the road show again, because that needs to be done to communicate. You know, there's not an easy button out there where you just put these policies in place and then tomorrow it's done. Now, we've seen gas prices go down, egg prices go down, some of that kind of stuff. But it takes a while for all the policies he put in place to for the rest of the economy to feel it.
And now, I'm fixated. I want the easy button. Where's the easy button? All right, we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the potential for the economy in 2026, the potential for investing in 2026. You know, are tariffs going to ruin your life, or are they going to make life better? We're going to cover that. We've covered politics. Now we're going to be talking economics, and we're going to cover this and more when we come back right after this break. We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And we're talking with the great Mike Carter, and we're talking about what's going to happen to the economy in 2026. And we've got these tariffs. Here's a question. Are the tariffs going to permanently ruin things, as we were told back in April?
Yeah, by those top academics that told Trump he didn't know what he was doing and this is how it's going to look, and he's proven them all wrong.
In April, Fed Chair Jerome Powell says tariffs are highly likely to fuel more inflation, and yet inflation is down since then. What did he say most recently? That was big headlines in April in Fox News. What has he said more recently? It's little tiny print. Federal Reserve Chairman Powell stated that he considers the inflationary effects of the recent tariffs to be a one-time price increase or price level shift, which should be relatively short-lived.
Wow, I did not really hear that. It didn't get a lot of media pickup. I didn't hear much about that.
No, I looked for a headline. I could post a headline just show it to you. No, it's hidden in the small print of his testimony.
Wow.
All the headlines left out the notion of one time, but that's what Chairman Powell said. So,
He's good friends with Trump. He's probably just trying to
not
show him
good
favor.
Friends with Trump, and Trump is going to replace him. The question is for Fed policy: which of the Kevins is he going to predict?
Kevin Freeman?
No, I'm not. I'm not in the running. There are two other Kevins: Kevin Wash and Kevin Hassett. And I know Kevin Hassett. I don't know the other Kevin, but I like him.
I'm going to vote for Kevin Hassett if they ask me. But yeah. Kevin Hassett actually has a Pirate Money book. I had a chance to meet with him last year at an SFOF conference, and he and Steve Moore gave him both books. So hopefully that's in the back of his mind right now
and
for a little transactional gold.
He endorsed Secret Weapon, and I've kept in touch with Kevin Hassett through the years. He's a good guy. He was at American Enterprise Institute. He's a good guy. I think he'd do a great job as head of the Fed. The market's worried because they think he might be too political. He's a brilliant economist. He will not be too political. He knows what he's doing. All right, here's the issue too, and this is the big one, the debt and deficit. Will this come home to roost in 2026? If you look at a chart we got from John Malden, it's over a year old, so it shows $32.9 trillion. So I guess at the start of 2024, our debt's up $5.5 trillion since then, but it points out that it's not just in the United States. Debt is a global problem. China, Japan, United Kingdom, France, you go through the list, every major nation's indebted.
You look at that debt as percent of GDP, and that's the kind of the shocking part to me. And then you think about World Economic Forum and a Great Reset. When you see there you are.
The Great Reset by Michael Rechnenwald.
You see debt as percent of GDP, 293%, 249%. Here's one, 383%, Singapore.
Yep.
Amazing. Surprisingly, though, China, I don't know if we can believe these numbers, they're only 12.88%.
No.
I want to see how their account works those numbers.
Well, what you've got to keep in mind is in China, here's the deceptive part. They push the debt to the balance sheet of the industries and the companies, but they're government-owned and controlled, so it's really government debt. So they keep everybody afloat, but they make it look like the nation's not overly in debt. So
their debt per capita, folks, as you're listening to this, is $1,787.
No. That's ridiculous. China has actually got massive debt problems, and they need a great reset. They need a reset from communism to free markets.
Yep.
But there's going to be another great reset pushed. It is not a conspiracy theory. If you read, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. No. It's on the World Economic Forum website in June 2020. Now is the time for a great reset. And there's a button that they put up there, push to reset the world. And they're pretending like it's an easy button.
That was easy.
It is not an easy button. Their reset will be painful. It will be where you own nothing and you're supposed to be happy about it, where you're eating bugs and you open the borders and all of these terrible things. That's the reset that they have planned.
And again, I'm pulling out my Texas transactional gold card, and I'm eating my steak with that and not eating my CBDC unit of bugs.
That is their goal, a central bank digital currency where shekels become shackles. You know, the good news, it's been banned by a Trump executive order, but it's likely a target for the 2026 midterms. They will bring people in who will promote central bank digital currency and override his veto if they possibly can.
Scary stuff. I mean, this is real world, folks. I mean, and we're not about fear, and we're always about solutions and hope. But you got to be aware that there is a very specific agenda for this to happen, and to happen sooner versus later.
Yep, and there's a very specific agenda to displace the dollar as the reserve currency, central bank or not, the foreign response and tax on the dollar. Jerusalem Post, you didn't see this headline very many places, but here's a December headline, BRICS move forward, 40% gold-backed unit proposal. They're calling it a unit, and it says, for nearly two decades, the global payment system has relied almost entirely on debt-backed sovereign money and correspondent banking trusts to conduct trade. The architecture is now fracturing under geopolitical strain, sanctions regimes, and capital controls as settlement rails bifurcate along east-west lines. Experiments are emerging to rebuild trust at the asset level rather than the sovereign balance sheet level. UNIT represents one of the clearest formal attempts to do precisely that, engineer a basket-backed collateral anchored settlement instrument intended specifically for wholesale cross-border trade in a multipolar financial world. They're trying to get a gold-backed currency. Good news, we have in America in five states a gold-backed currency that is going to be emerging with the rules
And implementation coming up in 26 and 27, and hopefully more states coming on board as well. And as you shared earlier, that's a $5 trillion economy. That could be gold, have a gold back, not 40%, actual 100% gold back. Or people could be in their
own. Or silver.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Could be on their own personal rainy day gold and silver fund.
Yep. Nope. That's our solution, but there is a serious problem there. All right.
And so, those BRICS nations, how many nations are there in BRICS? It's more than just the BRICS now.
There are like 30 total that have either applied or are currently in. All right. So those are serious threats. We don't know the timing on them. We don't know if BRICS currency is going to catch on in 26 or not, but we are racing to bring solutions and alternatives in a godly way under the Constitution. And I say in a godly way because that's our real hope. Don't put your hope in us. Don't put your trust in money and riches. Put your trust in God. And there's good news on that. Faith and church under President Trump has gotten easier with the establishment of the Religious Liberty Commission, to where you can believe what you need to believe, and that is in the Bible, in the truth of Jesus Christ. We've had big court wins. Coach Kennedy can pray on the football field. Dr. Carson, Lieutenant Governor Patrick, Matt Staver, Kelly Shackelford, the White House Office of Faith, and the Religious Liberty Commission. And my good friend, just on this show, Yacoubians is going to be in D.C. as a pastor of Mercy Culture Church just moments from the White House and the Congress under the authority of Mercy Culture out of Fort Worth and Pastor Landon Schott. We're taking some good old-time Texas religion to our nation's capital. This is a good-for-evil challenge like never before, and we're watching while this is happening. We're also seeing the wheat is growing. We're also seeing the tares, too.
Yeah. There's going to be prayer across from the Supreme Court, prayer across from the Vice President's House, prayer across from the Capitol. And I believe there will be politicians whose hearts are going to be changed.
I believe that, too. Now, we've seen witches and curses and things like that going on in Washington for decades. They're the tares growing up amongst the wheat. And there's a parable on this. The wheat and the tares. The kingdom of heaven's like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while he slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." That's what's happened in Washington. Here, we're going to have to watch both of them grow together and hope that the wheat crushes the tares by the power of God. But we're seeing demonic activity rising here in America, fueling violence and evil. And here it is, even The Guardian, satanic temple to offer religious program for elementary school students in Ohio. This is dangerous stuff.
No, it is. They've had the same thing in Oklahoma, some of these conservative states even, where they're trying to do their demonic, satanic messaging out there.
Because we put the Ten Commandments up, they want a statue of Satan.
Yeah.
And you see it all over. We see false religions emerging. We're seeing Hindu temples and other things that we don't believe in. If we believed in them, we would be Muslim or Hindu or any of those other things. No, we're believers. We're Christian believers. That's what we believe in. We believe in the God of the Bible. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son. But we're seeing across Dallas-Fort Worth the emergence of mosques and a big push by Islam funded by the Middle East coming into Texas.
Yes, yeah. And not just coming in, surrounding Texas. There's a very specific plan, not from a religious perspective. This is a political ideology that many of these mosques have.
Political Islam.
Yeah, yes.
That's
political
right.
Islam. Exactly.
And they plan to do this with ballots, not bullets, an immigration push to bring a lot of people in and take down the reddest state in America, or the largest mm-hmm. red state for sure.
And we live here in Texas, so we're seeing this happen. I mean, I'm shopping stores. I see what's going on with this movement. And it's one that I think our politicians here locally are waking up to. We're seeing our governors between DeSantis and Abbott say, wait a second, we need to recognize CARE and Muslim Brotherhood for
as
what they are.
Terror groups.
Yeah, terror groups. So that's a good first step.
It is.
And we pray for everybody that's here, that their hearts come to know the Lord, and for those that are here with Islam, that they see truth.
It's not the people, it's the ideology.
Mm-hmm.
But we are seeing a faith revival following Charlie Kirk's death as more people are attending church or mass and reading the Bible. Faith leaders report a 15% increase in church attendance. They call it the Charlie Kirk effect, drawing young people into Christianity, which is amazing. Young people are being drawn to socialism because of their economic need, but they're also being drawn to Christianity. We need to find solutions for that. Charlie was concerned about countering threats to Western civilization, so he recruited me into something called SCAN. It will be coming in 2026. You can learn more at scanhq.com. But Mike, talk about it, how people are receiving our discussions of the threats to Western civilization.
Yeah, I think, you know, people understand there's threats out there, but they're not really easily able to connect the dots. And what you're going to see at ScanHQ is a website that's going to be kind of a war map of what's going on geopolitically with the communists, with radical Islam, with the globalists, and then internally with ourselves, our hearts that tend to be more focused on ourselves and greed and so forth. And this is a chance for people to say, oh, I get what's really happening now, and what do I believe, and how do I make a difference out there? So I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, so this goes with the series of new book I'm writing, The Four Horsemen of the American Apocalypse and Our Six Trials by Fire. And the six trials by fire are mostly economic, starting with the debt, but it ends with the wealth gap, it ends in immigration and so forth. And the four horsemen are the red Chinese communists, the blue, the green radical Islamists, the blue globalists, and the yellow traitors and cowards who want to take America down and profit from America's failure. We're going to stand against them. That's what SCAN is about. Learn more at scanhq.com, and we'll be right back with more solutions after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and we've been talking about some of the threats, some of the challenges politically, economically. How about at the personal level, investing? And, you know, not everybody's been able to invest in the stock market, but those who have profited nicely. We had a great year last year. We've had a number of good years in a row since we had one decline during COVID, and then it's been roaring back because we blew out the money supply and everything. I'm looking at Wells Fargo, and they're seeing a double-digit gain again in 2026 as AI boosts profits, tax refunds, lift spending. This is Wells Fargo's prediction for the year ahead, as reported in Wealth Advisor.
Tax refunds lift spending, so that getting money back into people's hands is actually a good thing.
It
in
is.
In terms of boosting our economy.
Less government.
Policies paying off.
Well, you know what Bob McEwen teaches. You know, former congressman, mm-hmm. The worst spender of all is the U.S. government's least efficient spending. They don't care how much they pay for it, and they don't care what the quality is. If you're spending your own money, you want good quality, and you care about the price.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Kevin, we hit politics, we hit economics, then you put the faith and church in the middle. And that's the good news, because we're seeing a little reprieve here, where while we see socialism and communism in some parts, we're seeing that revival that you talked about. Charlie Kirk's assassination, while as horrible as it was, I saw Jenny McCarthy and her husband have become born-again Christians now because of that. And so we're seeing this movement where there's hope out there. And now we look at, really, we're queued up to have success in the markets. And doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it could go the other way as well. We got a lot of things working against it. But the fact that you put God and faith and church in the middle, and what we're doing now, I think gives all of us reason for hope. So with that, let's talk a little bit more about the stock market, because you are the expert as it relates to your previous careers and a little bit now, even though you're always looking at the markets.
All right.
Is there hope?
I'm going to borrow from Cousin Will Rogers, and literally he was. My dad proved to me he was my sixth cousin or something, the great Will Rogers. And young people don't even know who Will Rogers is, except that there's Will Rogers Coliseum and Will Rogers monuments and things like that. But the great Will Rogers was Cherokee, and he had a saying about the stock market, buy stocks. He said, buy stocks, and when they go up, sell them and make a profit. Then he said, if they don't go up, don't buy them, which is true wisdom. But here's the reality, is that last year the Magnificent Seven was leading the market going into the year, and it tapered off as we got toward the tail end of the year, the second half of the year. Actually, the stock market started to broaden out. That means you didn't have to just own the big seven tech names like NVIDIA. You could actually own normal stocks, And that is called, when you buy the S&P 500 in index, it is cap weighted, which means the biggest stocks dominate. Those seven stocks are 35% of the index. So 35% of your money is going to just seven stocks, and 65% of your money goes to the other 493 stocks in the S&P 500. So now CNBC, this is their recommendation, and we do not give advice on this show. Check with your financial advisor. But CNBC has an article for investors all in on Magnificent Seven lead market. Equal weight is trending as a stock call for 2026. A lot of advisors are saying if you're going to index invest, maybe you want to equal weight and not overweight those seven stocks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear advisors are saying that. And that's some of the thinking that we've been working in within the NSIC to make sure advisors understand the risk out there geopolitically, the risk out there in terms of these index funds and so forth, and how sometimes it does really make sense to be a selector of certain stocks based upon fundamentals and growth versus just saying, oh, I'm going to invest in the thing as a whole. Because we've seen these bubbles before. A lot of money's gone into AI.
Right.
And then we got, well, what happens with energy? You know, that could be inflationary. Are we going to have enough to make it happen? Who's going to win that race? Well, I have great hopes for AI and it's doing great things. It also has potential risk.
Think internet bubble of the late 90s, and the internet stocks just rocketed higher and the average stock didn't perform as well. When that bubble burst, the average stock did better. It's called value. There's a cycle between growth and value, and value might be coming back in. We don't, you know, it's hard to predict. It's almost impossible to predict, in fact. But there comes a time in which you say value stocks are better bargains. As John Templeton used to say, he looks for bargains. Value stocks are better bargains than growth stocks. This is why you need a financial advisor. I pulled up the NSIC.org website. Protect your wealth, defend your values, invest with liberty, security, and American principles in mind. Mike, this has been a project that you've been working on with our colleague Ben, really laying the foundation for us to help financial advisors help clients promote liberty, security, and values. Can you explain that?
Yeah. I mean, what we saw is a lot of investors or a lot of advisors out there weren't able to keep up with what's the geopolitical world, the economic war that's going on out there. They understand that it's very easy to fall into default mode. Well, we'll just put it in these index funds.
And Wall Street seems biased. There are
exactly.
A lot of yellow in Wall Street.
definitely have that. And so what we want to do was help Main Street get their voice back on Wall Street and in D.C. And you do that by working with a group of advisors, and hopefully we're going to have thousands of advisors. And that could be a half a trillion to $1 trillion of wealth behind liberty, security, and values, helping D.C. and Wall Street understand, hey, our values do matter.
Helping save America instead of taking us the wrong direction.
Yeah, we want to invest to save America, to protect our national security infrastructure and the values that are important to us. And so we've set this up. We've got a group of advisors now. We're looking for others that want to be a part in turning this and really scaling it up. But we have monthly threat assessments. We got events happening here at the ranch where we're talking through the ideas that we talk about here. And we're looking for the solutions and things that you can invest in that are going to make sure that we're positioned well.
You can learn more at NSIC.org, but I want to put a little statement to financial advisors. I've been in the financial advisory business since 1983, so I'm going on 43 years. And here's what I know. I know the average person, well, the Bible tells us. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The average person locks their money away, and that's where their heart too often is. A financial advisor has a unique opportunity to go to the fears, the angst, the worries, the concerns, the dreams, the hopes of individuals, and share with them a message about liberty, security, and values. That's what they want. They don't want you walking in with this is a mountain chart that shows how well the S&P 500 has done the past 50 years, and we'll just stay the course. They don't want that. They want you to listen to their needs. They want you to know about what their family needs to do, what they've got. They want somebody who listens to them, and they don't want an off-the-shelf cookie-cutter solution. What they want is somebody who has looked ahead and seeing some of the problems we're talking about and also some solutions and some possible ideas for it. And I'll tell you, Mike, you remember we started talking to advisors, and they said, don't bring up gold. My clients all want gold, and I don't want them having any of it.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? S&P 500 performed pretty good last year. It's up 16%. Gold was up 60%, and silver was up 100% almost.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Kevin, you always say, you know, gold is a store of value, not an investment. But when we see those types of returns, it also says there must be some geopolitical uncertainty out there. There's something that's driving those things. We see the debt. We see all these things that are out there. And so understanding how that correlates and what that means and making it easy for financial advisors to maybe include some gold in their portfolio. We're seeing people say, not instead of 10%, maybe it should be 20%. But traditionally, that's not been something that investment advisors have been comfortable with.
No, and there are major Wall Street firms upping their allocation to 20% from 10%, which is amazing. But the problem with it has been is that gold, it sits in a safe somewhere and you can't use it, you can't spend it, you can't do anything with it. Central banks have been buying lots of gold. They now hold more gold than they hold in U.S. treasuries. That means there are more gold than dollars in the reserve assets of central banks around the world. They know something that maybe some of us don't, and so we got to learn from that. But we have a path using pirate money. Pirate Money Radio is what we're talking about. The book Pirate Money, you can learn more at piratemoneybook.com. We have a path to use gold and silver instead of dollars as money, maybe for rainy day, using modern technology, state approved as legal tender, functioning just like money, not an investment, holding purchasing power. This we've passed in.
We've passed it in five states now.
Six states, yeah.
Six states. We got a veto from the governor of Utah. Hopefully he's going to see the light this next year. He didn't quite understand it last year, but six states. But in Oklahoma, or in Texas, Florida, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Missouri, all of those have made legal tender. They're working on implementation right now, which is exciting. And we've got another 20 states we're working and facilitating legislation in right now. So we'll see what that adds up to at the end of this next legislative session.
Oh, yeah. And we're implementing technology in those five states where it passed and signed into law. And one of the technology potential providers is going to be one that we identified early on. Mm-hmm. And they've provided support for this program. It comes from Glint, a financial technology service offering a debit card and a mobile app that enables users to access gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, manage their account through the Glint app available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint, providing access to gold for modern spending. And it's going to be looked at by these five states and maybe 20 others in 2026. That could be half of America looking at this. And we're hoping in the new year to get an executive order in combination with an economic justice board. We've got great meetings with White House officials and those trusted by the White House. We're hoping no tax on gold, gold from around the world flooding into America, and a great new year ahead. We've got great projects, Economic Justice Board, NSIC Institute, SCAN, Pirate Money, and we're fighting communism, inflation, and threats to your money and your liberty, promoting the truth of Christ. Any new resolution, what would you say it is, Mike?
More states with transactional gold right now.
Okay. All right. If you got questions or prayer needs or comments, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. Happy New Year. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. This is Kevin Freeman, joined by Mike Carter for Pirate Money Radio.
Arrgh.